it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So calling customers, getting directions, texting Janine and shipping on us. The broken coffee maker, that one's still on you, which means you'll save hundreds for your business and get the fastest mobile service with 5G cellular and Wi-Fi hotspots on us. But hurry, this deal won't last long. Get a mobile plan and free up the budget to maybe, I don't know, fix that coffee maker? Get mobile on us for 1 year, you guessed it, on us. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Ends 10/9/25. Restrictions apply. New mobile customers only with internet standard service or above. Limited to value of one unlimited intro line apply via 12 monthly internet bill credits. One discount per account. Fastest mobile based on mobile Wi-Fi and cellular data in service areas. Ookla Speedtest Intelligence 2H24.
Nationwide is so much more than a great insurance company. They're one of America's largest financial services companies. Like how I'm more than just Peyton Manning. I'm also Motivating Manning. When I say insurance, you say financial services. Insurance.
Financial services.
Insurance.
Financial services.
Now, when I say nationwide, you say is both. Nationwide.
Is both.
Nationwide.
Is both.
For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, Member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Tonight, breezy conditions with a low of 53.
Weather brought to you by Staples. Have you heard? The Staples Easy Button is back with even more easy. Press it for custom prints, shipping services, even passport photos. Staples. That was easy.
It's finally here. Bears versus Vikings. A primetime Monday night showdown tonight. Tune in all day as we continue to get you ready for the game. And stick around all day tomorrow for a full day of reaction. Right here on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868.
It's time for your local Ford dealers pregame show. Here are your hosts, Chicago football legend Olin Krutz, long snapping Iron Man Patrick Manley, and Spiegel and Holmes on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, always live on the free Odyssey app.
This is great. We get an opportunity to extend our show into the real show. The reason why you have tuned in is because we've got our guys in the building, your local Ford dealers pregame show. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, Bears versus Vikings. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome, as always. Patrick, it's good to see you. Olin, thank you so much for what you did for us last week here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. It's time. We are here. The season is upon us, and kickoff is a little over 3 hours away. Oh, let's start with you. How are you feeling as the season opens up?
Interested. Really interested in what the Chicago Bears will be. And the legend of Ben Johnson has grown tremendously this offseason. So finally we get to see them coach and play a football game and just really interesting season for Chicago Bears, which it has been for a while now, right? With the off seasons, always seem like they provide so much excitement and hope for us people who cover the Chicago Bears and for the Chicago Bear fans. So excited to see what they are, how they can improve, and where what direction, Pat, they're headed in.
Olin, I don't want to go back to that word hope again. We did that all last year, didn't we? Hopefully this year we're not doing that. But I'm excited for this year. Just, you know, you look at the resources now, it's on the offensive side of the ball. And we've been talking about for the last decade or so that it's always the defense. And excited to see what Ben Johnson can do, how much Caleb Williams can improve from year one to year two. Just want to see what this Bears organization can do going forward. Have they made the right decisions with the new head coach? Excited to see what Dennis Allen can do defensively. I have a lot of respect for him. I think we'll talk about that later, what we'll see from him and how the defense will look different from, you know, Lovie Smith and Matt Eberflus and what they have over there. But I'm excited. And I think it's the first time in a long time we can talk about the Bears and what is their offense going to do. Can they score points? Olin, you've always talked about finding points under rocks, and they've got guys over there now that looks like they can dig up those rocks and hopefully find points.
Well said.
Pat, let's go ahead and put a point on it. You don't want to buy in with the hope the way that you did last
no,
year.
No, man, I drank the Kool-Aid.
So was that just based on feeling burned last year? Because a lot of fans are there with you. A lot of fans really thought last year was going to be special. A lot of talk show hosts did. I don't remember who those guys are really for the most part. But like, so is that what it's about for you? Is that burn, or do you see things that shake your
confidence? No, I think it's just the history. You know, I went on all in last year. I was excited about Caleb and hoping that he could come in his rookie year and perform as you would want a number one pick to perform. And it didn't work out that way. And obviously the coaching staff and all the Tyler Dunn stuff, I'm sure we'll get into that as well. It didn't seem like it was the greatest place for him. You know, the Bears firing a coach for the first time ever in season. But I was excited last year, but I'm just going back to history of the Bears and how it's been with all these head coaches the last decade or so.
You mentioned the Tyler Dunn stuff. Olin, I mean that story broke on Friday, and I'm sure you've had a chance to see some of it. Your thoughts on a coaching staff kind of firing back to try and put the narrative either back towards the middle or blame the kid?
Yeah, I'm not shocked that they did that. Pat and I have played with a few coaches who've been fired, and no one ever leaves happy they got fired. And obviously there was a lot of stories out there that made them look really, really bad on the way out the door. And I think we talked about this at the show we did in the studio on Wednesday, that there's no way. I'm always interested when I hear a bunch of people saying, well, look, I know we're all making all this money. There's 60 millionaires in the building here, but everything is Eberflus's fault, right? And it's just very interesting that some of those people from last year are still in the building at Hallis Hall, right? Some of the people who hold the blame for that guy's article that he wrote. And I'm not shocked that the players think it's the coach's fault and the coaches think it's the players' fault. I'm not shocked at all about that. And I'm not shocked that the coaches have come out and said, look, man, there was other stuff going on there that we couldn't help. And I think you guys had Kurt Warner on earlier, and he was talking about how weird the statement is that somebody didn't help me watch film. Pat can speak to this too. I never had a coach help me watch film, right? I sat in the meeting rooms after with Casey Wigman and those guys and just poured over film and watched the film, and coaches would come in and coach you up and run through the film. So I think Kurt Warner put it best when he said, look, that's kind of a strange statement, mm-hmm. right? It's just anybody who's been in the NFL, when you heard that, the first thing you thought was, well, that's a pile of you know what, mm-hmm. because that makes no sense at all to me. So there's truth on both sides. Look, they got to get it fixed up there at Hallis Hall. I think we know that. Pat just mentioned their record over the last 10 to 12 years. They know they got to get it fixed. They're hoping that they're moving in the right direction. I will say this, Pat. Some of the stuff that I read through the article is some of the stuff that we went through with yep. different quarterbacks at Hallis Hall when we played, and they did worry me a little bit.
Yeah, I was worried as well, but I always thought about my mom. She would always ask me when I first came to the Bears, she's, you know, you get the articles, she'd read them all the time, and she's like, is this true? Is the house really, you know, everything falling? I'm like, nope, believe half of what you read. Always believe half of what you read. So when I saw that come out and I started reading through it, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back to that way, what I used to tell my mom, give that advice to myself. Believe half of what you read. Is some of it true? I'm sure it is. I believe some of it is true, but I also think there are some coaches that are, you know, a little upset that they got fired and they moved on. And Olin, you said it perfectly. Coaches blame players and players blame coaches. And mm-hmm. that goes around. But is there a firestorm up there? I don't think there is. Is there some stuff in there that is probably true? Sure. But can Caleb prove them wrong? Yes. Can Ben Johnson help Caleb become the quarterback he wants to become? Yes. I think they've got a much better offensive minded coach there to help him. But I'm not too worried about that article. There is some stuff, you know, everybody saying that, you know, there's no names behind any of this stuff. And then I guess I'll kind of call him out a little bit. Tyler Dunn is also independent, right? Is he trying to get himself out there, trying to make a statement for himself with this piece? So there's a lot of things you can go about this piece and break it down. But in the end, a head coach got fired during the season, first time in Bears history. Caleb didn't play great. So I just go back to, I believe, half about that stuff. Just go back to what I told Mom. Believe about half the stuff you read. And hopefully they can get this thing figured out. Hopefully this staff that Ryan Poles has put together is competent and can bring Hallis Hall together, and they're all on the same page.
You're listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show. Patrick Manley, Olin Kreutz, we're Spiegel and Holmes. We're hanging out here until we get off the air around 5:40, getting you ready for the Bears game tonight. So with Caleb and you guys hearing what you hear outside of Hallis Hall, being at practices, watching last year's games, all of that stuff. And Patrick, I'll start with you. What are you hoping to see as as proof of improvement from Caleb from year one to year two?
Well, the little things, you can just go to cadence. I think Grady Jarrett was talking about his cadence gotten better. That's one leap from college to the pros. It is different instead of clapping and doing all that stuff. That's little things. But I want to see pre-snap process. I want to see his communication with the center, figuring out the mic and the calls and all that stuff. And today with Brian Flores' defense, identifying blitzes, where the pressure is going to come from. I want to see pre-snap. I want to see him be comfortable. I want to see him run the play clock correctly. And then post-snap, I want to see him be decisive. And tonight is a great test. And we'll see what Ben Johnson dials up for a game plan for him. But I just want to see him look comfortable. I think there were games last year early in the season, he looked nervous. He looked jittery. I just want to see him look confident. I want to see the game slow down for him. And I think we'll be able to see that. You watch the great ones or the good ones that can kind of digest the play before it happens. They just look calm. And I want to see Caleb kind of just run the huddle, walk up to the line of scrimmage, communicate with his teammates, and look calm. And I think if we can see that, then he's got everything under control.
Olin, what about you?
Yeah, exactly what, you know, I'll just piggy off back off of what Pat said and the pre-snap stuff. But, you know, I think Ryan Poles put it best last year, right? Just playing the offense. And then when it's time to be great, go be great. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that you want to see from a guy who is taking, you know, first in the NFL draft. You want to see him be great. We all know his arm is exceptional. His arm talent is exceptional. He can run around the pocket. He can make guys miss. He can gain yards with his legs. Operating the offense is what we're all wondering about. We're all wondering if Ben Johnson can get him to play within the system, get the ball out on time. There was still some worry about that in preseason when you watch the game. So just pre-snap stuff, right? We talked about it in studio, you know, when everyone talked about when Braxton Jones missed that linebacker who blitzed him in the preseason against the Chiefs. And we talked about, well, a really good quarterback, and what Pat is talking about, walks up there. He knows his center has silent count. His center cannot help out the tackle. He knows he's in charge of protection at that moment. He knows it's a five-man protection. He knows the tackle has what we call a double duel or a sort, and he has the most dangerous between the DN and the linebacker, and he knows that that tackle is the weakness in his offense. So he walks up there and points the guy out and says, look, man, Braxton, keep your eyes on this linebacker, and then walks back, takes the snap, and gets rid of it for a touchdown. Those are the things we want to see him do. Those are the things Pat was talking about.
You know, it's funny. I've done so much of this kind of reframing of last year to be thinking, you just got to throw it away because it's a new system and he was coached poorly and everything. Last year against Brian Flores and the Vikings at Soldier Field, Caleb Williams was 32 for 47 for 340 yards and two touchdowns. Didn't throw a pick, a rating of 103.1, took three sacks. I remember lots of scrambles and chaotic creations there from Caleb. But, you know, it's funny. You got to take something positive from that as a fan remembering. And for Caleb, even some muscle memory, I'm sure they've watched some of that this week. Even though the system's different, Pat, he's had some success.
And that was one of the most impressive games with some of the throws he had to Keenan Allen across the middle.
Yes.
Swift down the sideline. But to me, and Olin, you talked about this a lot last year, is fourth quarter points. Points, you know, before the half and fourth quarter points. He brought him back to get him to overtime. What, they were down 8 or whatever, went back to overtime. They lost in overtime. But that's a great quarterback. Think about last night's game when Josh Allen was down how many points. You believe in your quarterback that you can still come back and win. And that's what I want Caleb to be able to do. And in that game, he did it. He brought him back and got him into overtime. And unfortunately, he didn't play well in overtime. But that's what you want to see. You want to see a quarterback that can score points at the end of halves and at the end of fourth quarters to get you in that position to win.
Yeah, they were down 27-16, and he brought them all the way back with the touchdown to Keenan and then the late field goal from Cairo at the end.
It's funny, though, because one of my criticisms of Caleb, and I don't even know if it's valid, is that I know that if you put him in a 4-minute or a 2-minute, he can play kind of helter-skelter. The thing that I've been trying to figure out is, can he play inside of structure? And I love what this offense seems like it looks like, fellas, where he is going to be asked to, hey, top of the drop, the ball is supposed to come out. I do worry if he's going to be comfortable, whether he doesn't necessarily see it.
Does he trust that the guys are going to be where they're supposed to be? So, Olin, how does that trust build up? Is that something where it has to be done in practice so that you can get more comfortable knowing that, listen, this is what the play calls for. Get to where the ball is supposed to be thrown no matter how.
Yeah, my connection was cutting out, Lawrence. I'm sorry. Can you ask me the question again?
Absolutely. Like with Caleb playing outside of structure, I know that he can do that. We've seen him do it. Asking him to play inside of structure is something that I'm concerned about. So how do you think they've gone about getting him to that place where do the special stuff when it's called for, but also understand what the play call is and go with that and trust it?
Yeah, that really is the trick, right? It's the thing everyone's trying to do with all these young quarterbacks in the NFL. It's the thing O'Connell's trying to do with J.J. McCarthy, the guy on the other side of the field. And how do you go about doing it is you teach him and try to speak the language that he understands, right? That's why you pay a head coach $13 million to bring his system in, find out what Caleb is good at. Can we put that in the game plan, make him comfortable earlier so he's not holding on to the ball, getting the ball out? You surround him with the weapons that they have surrounded him with, right? And put that O-line around him. You know, I think they put over $100 million into the middle of that offensive line to make him feel a little more comfortable up there when he takes the snap, and just kind of settle him down. Here's how you should see the field. Here's how I simplify the read for you. Don't make it harder than it is. And if anything, just get the ball in your playmakers' hands and let them make plays, right? Let DJ Moore, Luther Burden, Rome Odunze, Swift, let these guys make plays. Don't think that you have to make every play like you did in college, like you did in high school. Don't think that you have to be great on every play. These guys around you, they get paid also.
Olin, we got an offensive coordinator, an offensive-minded head coach who loves the run game and knows how important it is. I'm thinking about Doug Buffone. I'm thinking about all the hosts in years past, all the former players, and you, like just wanting some identity in running the ball. This guy, I think, understands that. Looks like Kyle Manungai and DeAndre Swift will be the guys, probably more Swift than anything. Tell us what you're excited about in terms of watching the run game tonight.
Well, what really got me excited was watching the offensive line in the preseason block against the Chiefs. I think it was the third drive they came out and they really committed to the run. And Drew Dolman, man, that guy is a specialist at outside zone. He's really good at it, Pat. I'm sure you watched some film on it. Jonah Jackson, I haven't seen Joe Tooney yet. We all know Darnell Wright. He is a people mover now. So with him and Jonah Jackson over there on the right side with Cole Kmet, I was pleasantly surprised watching Colson Loveland run block in the preseason. He reminded me he went to Michigan where they run the hell out of the football, right? Braxton Jones, pretty good run blocker himself. So that got me excited. And I know that Coach Johnson with the team that he had in Detroit, obviously when you have, you know, Taylor Decker at the time, they had Frank Ragnow, they had Jonah Jackson right at one time. They had, you know, they got Penei Sewell, right? They got great running backs. It's easy to commit to the run when you're having success. So you have a coach that understands now that we did pour all this money into the middle of our offensive line. One thing you do worry about, I know that people are excited about Kyle Manungai, and I am too. I watched him at Rutgers. I watched him in the preseason. I know he got a little nicked up. Something we worry about him with Swift is, do they have a bell cow back? But I think they will run the ball to protect Caleb a little bit and then get him in some play action, try to get guys open down the field with crossers and clear outs.
Yeah, I think they have to run the ball, right? I think that's what their MO is right now to help Caleb. And going back to Caleb is get him into situations where the check down is okay, the easy throw is okay, where the yardage is manageable to get the first down. It's not second and 12, second and 10. You just want to see him comfortable in situations where the check down is okay. And I want to see if he can operate the offense. Like, I go back and I think about it. I don't know if I read it or heard it on a podcast talking about Tom Brady when he was younger. I'm not going to compare Caleb Williams and Tom Brady, but when Tom Brady was younger, the offense was structured for him just to hit the easy throw. And then as he got older, he understood and processed the game better and made, you know, bigger throws and better throws and all that kind of stuff. But I want to see Caleb kind of just operate in the system and hit the easy throws, but get that run game going. And I think they're going to be okay with that run game. I really like the offensive line. I like what Ryan Poles finally did with that offensive line. And they looked good in the preseason, and then putting Joe Tooney in there is going to be a nice little asset for him.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we have spent a lot of time talking about this offense, and we'll continue to do so throughout the show, but we also need to talk about what's happening on the other side. And Dennis Allen coming in as a defensive coordinator and a guy who's making his first start, even though it's his second year in the league. So why don't we do that after a quick timeout? Patrick Manley is here. Olin Krutz is here. Spiegs is here. This is your local Ford Dealers pregame show. We'll talk a little defense next here on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of your local Ford Dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Number one is this. It's a mentality. It's a mindset. It's a culture. And so I've said this 1,000 times. It's not about what we play. It's about how we play. And so it doesn't matter what the call is. It's about creating an aggressive mindset. And then you have to be able to execute whatever that call is within that same mindset. We don't want to sit back and let the offense dictate to us. We want to try to dictate the terms to them and continue to come after them and hopefully force them into mistakes. And I think, you know, that's what the great offenses try to do to defenses. I think defenses have to do the same thing to the offense.
This is your local Ford Dealers pregame show, and you're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric Football Game Day presented by your local Ford Dealers. That's Dennis Allen, the new defensive coordinator for your Chicago Bears. Bears versus Vikings over on the lakefront. ESPN's doing a good job in watching a little bit of their coverage of showing the city off in ways that they don't ordinarily, which I like.
Arlington Heights or Chicago are they showing off?
They have not sent the helicopter to Arlington Heights as of yet. I do wonder if we will get that at least locally. If we'll see some of the places like send their traffic chopper over to where the racetrack used to be. Like, this is where the Bears are going to have a stadium. Uh-huh. All that good stuff. Spiegel and Holmes, we're here, but the stars of this show are Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. They're going to be with you all season long, and they're going to be on the postgame show tonight after the game goes final. So we've been talking about this, Patrick, from the perspective of, oh, Caleb's in this new system, and he's got all this stuff that he's got to try and figure out. J.J. McCarthy has spent a year up in Minneapolis, but he hasn't played. This will be his first start. What do you know about Dennis Allen, and how can they take advantage of a young quarterback?
Well, Dennis Allen's going to look a little bit like Flores, where he's going to walk some guys up to the line of scrimmage. There's going to be a lot of bodies up there on third down. So that can confuse the quarterback. We talked about that last year with Caleb and Flores. You're going to see a little bit more man. You're going to see more stunting up front. You're not going to see your typical Lovie Smith, Eberflus, you know, cover two defense. It's just going to be more multiple. You're going to see a lot more DBs out there playing. So it's going to be fun to watch. It'll be a little bit more like a Fangio defense where you'll see the shell will look different. Everything will look a little bit different. So I'm excited to see what Dennis Allen, who's been a head coach, who's been a defensive coordinator for a long time, what he's going to dial up for a young quarterback. And I also want to know, you know, J.J. McCarthy being injured and sitting out for a year, how much could he take in of O'Connell's offense, and how well will he play in his first NFL start with limited reps in the preseason? How will he do? And is Caleb that much more ahead of him? I guess we always go back to Caleb, right? Is he that much more ahead of J.J. McCarthy? But I'm looking forward to seeing what Dennis Allen draws up against this young quarterback.
It's fascinating because this is kind of a litmus test, where you do have the quarterback who played right away versus the quarterback who sat and learned. And I don't know if there's a consensus around the NFL, Spiegs. I think that a lot of coaches have tried to figure it out, and they'll try it this way with a young quarterback, and they'll try it the other way. What do you think about this? And what's the value for you, a guy who studied a lot, for a guy that sits for a year and doesn't have to worry about playing and can just learn?
Well, there's a lot of value in that, but I want to ask you and Spiegs a question, because I thought I heard Joe Buck say something, but I wanted to make sure I heard it correctly. Did he say that when he met with the Bears, they said they got to create a pass rush because they don't have a premier pass rusher yet?
Did he say that? I missed that because that's quite a statement.
That's quite a statement.
When you paid Montez Sweat.
Yeah, right. 4 years, $98 million. But anyway, I thought I heard that, but I could be wrong. But you look, you can learn a lot from playing, as Pat knows. But as a, for a quarterback, if you get sacked a lot, we've seen a lot of these guys lose their confidence, right? But to sit behind Darnold and learn, I know, as Pat knows, I sat behind Casey Wigman. I bring this name up a lot because I thought it helped me develop in my career. Now, when I got to Chicago Bears, I was 20 years old. I did leave college early, and I still needed to grow a little bit in my game, in my skill, and learning the game of football. And I thought I learned a lot, honestly, sitting behind Casey Wigman and being honest with myself and saying, look, this guy is better than me, and he's better than me at these certain things in his game are better than my game. And I need to learn how to do those things from him. And if J.J. McCarthy did that behind Sam Darnold, watch, learn. Now, there's no substitution for getting reps. You still have a lot to learn once you play. And that game tonight at Soldier Field is going to seem fast to him, and the crowd should come there and make a lot of noise and make it really, really hard on that young quarterback. And we all know Dennis Allen's reputation as a defensive coordinator in confusing young quarterbacks. It's a matchup, man. It's a big matchup for a young quarterback to go against Dennis Allen with his, you know, man coverage and his match quarters. And I won't get into all the crazy stuff that he does run to confuse a young quarterback. We'll see who's up and who's down for the Chicago Bears in their secondary. But we all know the Vikings have a ton of weapons on their offense. They have an excellent offense coordinator who seems to know how to talk to quarterbacks, how to tell them the things that they need to know to attack certain defenses. So a big matchup tonight for a young quarterback to get Dennis Allen, who is excellent at the things he does when he is a defensive coordinator.
Both of these young quarterbacks have new free agent centers. Ryan Kelly, the former Colt, is the Vikings center. Mm-hmm. And obviously Drew Dahlman here. What's the center's job against a Dennis Allen defense, as you're seeing, you know, like Pat was saying, linebackers creeping up on either side, or linebackers creeping up into the gap, or DBs creeping up? What's your job as a center to help a young quarterback, Olin?
Yeah, you're trying to identify who the offensive line is working to for the quarterback. And what you're trying to do for a young quarterback is give him tips on where a blitz or pressure may be coming from. But here's what I'm talking about, Speaks. Here's what I'm talking about with playing on the road is tough. The crowd can literally take the center out of the game, mm-hmm. right? Like they can take that communication away and put it all on J.J. McCarthy's plate. And if the center, if they're using silent count, which they're going to have to do tonight, then he won't get a lot of calls out. But they do have, right? They have a rookie left guard in Donovan Jackson. They gave Will Fries $88 million to play right guard. They have two excellent tackles. But the communication at center, the center position is, look, this is who the line is working to. This is where you're hot. This is the way the protection is going to be organized for you. Make sure you get the ball out if this certain guy comes. So you're just trying to help him with all the calls. It takes some of that mental processing off his plate.
Olin, I want to ask you about, let's just go back to Flores, and this is his year three, and I know how much you watch tape and you would get tendencies on defensive coordinators. Mm-hmm. For a guy like Flores and you being an offense or being the center and making the calls, how much would you expect for him to allow that defense to kind of morph into maybe something different or be more free because they are in year three of that defensive scheme?
Yeah, that defense, man, when you watch film, Pat, and you watch, you know, you give me credit, but you watch just as much film as I watch. That defense is hard to get tips mm-hmm. on, man, where they're coming from. They make everything look the same. They're simulated pressures, right, whether they're coming or not. It's almost body language, right? Can you read someone's body language? Can you see if the right leg is back, if the left leg is back? Are they blitzing? Are they coming? Here's the problem. Hargrave and Allen didn't even play in the preseason. So two of the guys you're going against, right, you have not even seen them in this scheme, right? The guys they gave $60 and $19 million to. And then you add that to Jonathan Greenard and Andrew Van Ginkle, and you got a big challenge up there mm-hmm. up front. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings did the same thing the Chicago Bears did. They poured all the money into the middle of their defense and their offensive line. So when you're studying a guy like Flores, I tell my son this, who plays center at Illinois, when you play a blitzing defense, don't try to do too much. Don't try to see too much. You got to make a call, and you got to trust that the guys around you know what to do.
Olin Kreutz and Pat Manley are the hosts of the Bears pregame show. Me and Lawrence just kind of hanging around here.
Molly now. Is Molly still part of us?
That's a great question.
Yes.
Yeah, he's just not here.
Yes, but we didn't want to make him do a double shift today.
Yeah, no.
No, that's fine. I just don't want to take Molly out of the, you know.
Good call.
No. He's part of the team.
That's good teammateship right there.
But you know
good
what?
Teammateship, Olin.
That's why I lead the Bears in piccolo.
The piccolo.
You know what I mean?
Award,
I mean, yep. George probably wants to take him away, but that's okay. I'm keeping him.
Well, we do want to honor Mully because we can tell you that we do have Who's Hot, Who's Cold, brought to you by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Who's Hot? Aaron Rodgers, Justin Fields. Both those guys played great yesterday. And who's cold? Velus Jones, not in the league. So shout out to Mully.
There you go.
We wanted to make sure that he was appropriately taken care of here on the pregame show.
The last time we needed
How about Mike McDaniels? He's cold.
Oh boy. Yeah. Olin, my brother's a Dolphin fan. He quit on the team yesterday. As a fan, he quit. He's like, this thing is ugly. This thing is toast.
I tell you what, man. I wonder sometimes if McDaniels gets in a room with his friends and actually says to them, like, can you believe they gave me this job? And then everybody in the media fell in love with me just because I would do interviews and stuff. Can you believe they actually thought I would be a head coach in the NFL? Wow.
Dan Wiederer told a great story on the midday show today because he found out that what the Bears did before that joint practice with the Dolphins, they watched the Masvidal 5-second knockout that he had where he just ran up and high-kneed the guy in the face. And so Ben Johnson like pulled everyone together and was like, hey, this is what I want when the Dolphins get here for practice. And then in the facility, the next day in the facility, it was on every television. That knockout was on every television in the facility. So even the media was able to see it. And then you had the Dolphins complaining that the Bears were too physical. Yes, were too physical.
Well, I thought about you
laughed. What was looping during the Chiefs game? What was looping appreciation? Not the same one then, huh?
They should have gone back to Masvidal for that one.
They should have gone back, right? Very interesting. I'm very interested in these Chicago Bears. Is an interesting team to me this year, man. And just the physicality we've heard a lot about and the toughness and the way they want to play football.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see that carry all the way through the season, which as Pat knows and you guys know, Spiegs and Lawrence, it's hard to do. It's easy to be tough for 1 week and one day, right? To be tough for 17 weeks, to be tough every day, to show up, to bring that kind of attitude, a muscle off, a knee, throw the knee, knock somebody out all the time, to be willing to do that every week, every game. That's really the test.
Well, it's an interesting thing in terms of the personality of Ben Johnson, because he's obviously, you know, a bit of a numbers guy and, you know, kind of an intellectual and a schemer and stuff, but he wants to prove his toughness. He wants to prove his football toughness, and he coached under Dan Campbell, so we've heard an awful lot about that, and we'll see how much that gets into the DNA of the team or not. I want to tell you guys that the practice squad elevations are in. We don't have the inactives yet for the roster, but the practice squad elevations can tell us a lot. The linebacker Carl Jones Jr. and the defensive end Tano Passignon, I believe is how to pronounce it.
Sounds good.
Have both been elevated. No corners. No corners elevated. That probably means that either one or maybe even both of Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon are going to play, we would think. And with the linebacker coming up, it probably means T.J. Edwards does not. The other thing is no running back. I thought maybe Britton Brown would be activated. So I don't know if that means Roschon Johnson will be able to play.
Or they decided maybe they don't need him.
And D.J. Moore will be a third running back. Your thoughts on that stuff in terms of the roster?
Well, to me, that speaks for health, hopefully, right, Olin? That they're healthy enough to play. Maybe they're going to have to rotate a little bit. But Jalen Johnson, it'd be encouraging to see him out there. I don't know if he'll play the entire game. Obviously, we don't know the injuries. We can't play doctors here. We try to, but I think it's encouraging that they didn't bring anybody up, and I hope he's out there with their receiving core they have over there. As far as Kyler Gordon, that was kind of a shock. Hopefully, that was just something that was a minor tweak, and they're like, no, you're off the field. We got a game the next day. You know what I mean? Like, or we got a game in 2 days. Let's just go ahead and get you off the field. But it would be helpful to see those guys out there, as we talked about Dennis Allen and what he likes to do with his multiple looks and play extra DBs and all that kind of stuff. So It's encouraging that it's not that position. I think we knew about T.J. Edwards and the Jones kid, Jones Jr. That's obviously just going to be some special teams depth there. But, yeah, I think it is encouraging you didn't bring up some DBs. So hopefully we get to see those guys more out there. Jalen Johnson, hopefully we get to see him more out there.
Oh, when it comes to Jalen Johnson versus Justin Jefferson, if that's what happens, like it doesn't – considering the groin injury, maybe it doesn't. Maybe we do see them play a more zone concept against him than what you would if Jalen Johnson was available. How would you expect, knowing that the guy hasn't really played football since last January, if he is out there and they are running more man, how do you expect Justin Jefferson and the Vikings to try and attack him? And then what do the Bears have to do to help protect Jalen if he isn't 100%?
Well, there's a safety always. I mean, you're always trying to bracket Justin Jefferson no matter who you have on him, right? You don't let him go one-on-one all day. Now, Jalen Johnson, now we all know he's an excellent corner. He's an all-pro. We all know how good he is. We've been watching him for years, man. This guy is an excellent football player. Looks like he plays the game for all the right reasons when you watch him on film. I'd be surprised if he was playing tonight, honestly. I mean, with that growing, I got 16 more games after this one. I want to make sure this guy's 100% healthy, but I'm sure they're doing the right thing by him. And if he's ready to go, and I say those things, and I got my former teammate sitting next to you guys, and you know it'd come hella high water to keep me off the field. Yeah. So I say those things, and it's because I'm old and I have kids, and I think I'm softened. But if he's out there and they're battling, man, Lawrence and Spiegs, what a matchup, man. What a matchup between these two really excellent football players. But you would expect to see if he can change directions, right? To put a few routes on there that he's got to change directions, that you know, they're running things at him and crossing routes and trying to get him picked and seeing if he can actually run with Justin Jefferson with the injury that he has. And if he can't and they got him on the field, they're going to attack him. It's what I would do, Pat. I don't know about you, but I would attack a guy who has not played at all. Who has not been not only not playing, but he just recently hit the practice field.
Yeah, I would go after him early.
That's the stuff I'm worried about.
Yep, I would go after him early. And the other thing too, Olin, now that he's a veteran, you would hope there would be some trust between the training staff and Jalen Johnson, that they can have an open conversation and be honest about where he stands. And hey, listen, this is a long season, week one. Hey, you can heal that much more for the rest of the season. So we'll see how that goes. But the good thing is, Olin, he doesn't have an appendicitis, and they don't want to sit him for that.
That's for the book.
Yeah,
that's
for the book. I know. Hey, I don't know what I'm talking about. Just appendicitis. I didn't mention anybody or anything. I just wanted to say appendicitis.
It's your local Ford Dealers pregame show. We've got Patrick Manley. We've got Olin Krutz. Spiegel and Holmes are here as well. When we come back, let's take a look around the division. There was some interesting stuff going on yesterday between the Packers and Lions. We'll talk about that as we continue to preview Bears and Vikings. It's your local Ford Dealers pregame show here on The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like he told us, we don't have that premier pass rush guy, but we have a lot of ways to get to the quarterback.
Second and 10. His Goff's being chased by Parsons. Look out! He's got him! His first sack as a Green Bay Packer.
It is your local. Hey, Alex. Alex just jumped in here to say hello to us, and we appreciate it. It is your local Ford Dealers pregame show. Patrick Manley, Olin Krutz. That man is Matt Spiegel.
You just heard Joe Buck say what Olin Krutz correctly heard earlier in the show. They don't have an elite pass rush guy. That's basically how it went last year, even though they paid for one, to your point, Olin. Micah Parsons, now that's an elite pass rush guy. Olin, what did you think? Was the Lions struggling against the Packers more about them being without Ben Johnson, which is what I hoped, or the Packers having Micah Parsons and a pretty damn good defense overall?
Yeah, three things can be true, right? Listen, Ben Johnson is really good at calling plays and setting guys up and getting guys open and working his way to get the defense to do what he wants him to do to get the ball in the end zone. And Parsons is really good. I was surprised at how much he was near the quarterback. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys watched the game, but and also, you know, the Lions, I think we talked about, guys, when we were in studio, I didn't think that O-line was going to be as good as people thought, right? I thought that them losing Frank Ragnow, their center, and going with two new guards was really going to affect them, right? And I think Penei Sewell found out that the thing that I know well. It's hard to play O-line by yourself sometimes. So it's a tough thing to do. They may play it into themselves and learn the new play caller and get better up front, but Graham Glasgow, I thought he struggled a little bit at center there, and I think that sometimes the legend grows to a fact, Pat, like you know, the reputation you come in and you say, man, the Lions' O-line is good, and everybody kept repeating that this year. But what they forgot was the Lions' O-line was good last year, right? And they were good the year before that, and they've lost some guys in the middle there.
Yeah, the biggest thing, you know, you hear about players, not plays, and I was hoping – it was plays, and I thought it was, and you're right, Olin, it was all three things. That Ben Johnson, you know, not being there, they looked different. And then to me, the interior of that Detroit Lions offensive line looked terrible. That they played terrible. They did not look like what they've been in the past. Jared Goff did not look comfortable. But I was excited to see them struggle without Ben Johnson. I've always said this to Bears fans this offseason about Ben Johnson, that he's kind of like a plus three. You get three extra points with him. He's going to scheme three extra points somewhere. It's like go back to baseball speak. It's like your wins above replacement, you know, is what's your war. I think he gets you three extra points, and man, I think he's that good of a play caller. What came out, all the GMs or whatever rated the play callers, and if they're saying that, what, third or fourth? Third. I mean, that says a lot.
Reed.
When that many people are talking about him, they all watch the tape, obviously. They're impressed with what they see, and we saw that against the Packers yesterday. So, hopefully we can see that with the Bears' talent they have now, but I do think he is worth like three extra points, and I think that goes a long way. You say three at home and then three with the head coach. We'll see what happens today.
Yeah, you know, the Lions couldn't run the ball as well as they did last year, and Ben's all about running the ball. And some of the great ones, LaFleur's all about running the ball. The Packers run the hell out of the ball, and that makes life easier for Jordan Love. So this is part of the excitement for Bears fans, it ought to be, is having an offensive coordinator who really, truly gets it. Since what, Ron Turner are we talking about? Like an offensive coordinator who really gets the importance of the run game and knows how to scheme it well.
And you know what was great yesterday for Green Bay is the fact that, you know, I like Jeff Hafley. I think he's a really interesting DC. They barely blitzed yesterday. And when you got four guys that can get to the quarterback, it changes the dynamics of everything that you can do. And Hafley loves to do press man. So when you got two guys that you know that can get after the quarterback, and they sure damn did yesterday, you can make an offense's life hell when you don't have to blitz, O.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what gets lost in it is what you're saying, right, Lawrence, is that Gary is so good too, right? And they added Parsons to that, and they just have – well, and it was one game. You know, we don't want to overreact to one game, but they sure did look good. Lucas Van Ness, you know, they moved him inside, and I was thinking about – Justin Smith, Pat, out of San Francisco, went to Missouri, started with the Bengals, and just a big defensive end that the 49ers, that people finally figured out he was a better three technique, right? I was watching him bull rush the Lions left guard back into Goff's lap yesterday. So they have a lot of, they put a lot into that defensive line, right? They traded for Parsons. They got Gary. They got a lot of money there. They got Van Ness in the first round. They just have a lot. They put a lot of emphasis on rushing the passer, and it looked like they finally got to where they wanted to be with that group.
It's exciting that we're going to have Pete Bursich on. Like, we get the opportunity to get the perspective of what's going on from the Vikings side. And I mean, that team itself is really interesting with all the faith that they are putting in J.J. McCarthy. So we need to take a timeout, and we're going to get the view from the Vikings as they get ready to come into Soldier Field. And as soon as we hear anything about who's in and who's out, if we get it before we get off the air, we will share it with you.
We also got to get picks from all you guys. Olin, Pat, we got to get your picks for it. There's actually a game.
Yeah.
They're going to kick the ball. Can you believe it?
How about that? The pick segment. That's coming up.
The new kicking balls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we
point,
don't need to go there. That's
no,
another,
we can.
No, no, no,
it's
no.
It's
we
a
part. That is it's exciting
the,
to talk
it's
about.
The first
Let's do
game,
it.
Man. We don't need to do that.
I mean,
hey, Olin, we can do that when if they're like 0-3 or something.
I tell you
we
what,
need
Pat,
to
man,
some airspace.
Though, these kickers, are they ever out of range anymore?
No.
It's insane.
Nope. 60 yarders, no problem.
Chris,
game winner.
No problem.
Chris Boswell is just a beast. You hear what?
40-year-olds bombing 60s.
Cheer up, Mike Tomlin.
Some Lance Armstrong footballs, man. They're juice.
Hear what Mike Tomlin said about Chris Boswell after the game?
Uh-oh. Man, the NFL season is back. And I can't say enough about Boz. Man, our kicker is a serial killer. Man, he got a low pulse rate. He can't wait to deliver.
Dexter.
Love talking to him.
I think that we should add Matt Prater to that list,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Not only that, he called him the Boz. You know what I mean? Boz. The Boz.
It's a serial killer. Jeff Dahmer getting a tryout next week.
Oh, we'll talk with Pete Bursich and find out what's up with the Vikings next. You are listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show here on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.